Welcome to Journey Church, and I love the opportunity to share and speak every opportunity that I get here. I also love the opportunity to have a guest team or minister in to speak to us as well, and that's the case here this Sunday. We have a team that is here today all the way from Kansas City, the other side of the state. The state that still has a football team, the side of the state that still has a football team. But, But as you know, we have teamed and have been honored to serve the vision of Beauty for Ashes for a couple of years now. And I'm so excited about what they allow us to do for the vision that God has put in their heart that we get to serve. And that is what we get to do over in Vandalia at the Women's Correctional Facility there that we get to be in. And we go in. Tim and I go in quite often. We go in there monthly. We go in quarterly for chapels. We've got a team of volunteers here that send cards and prepare crafts and opportunities of encouragement, letters. They go in on Saturdays for kind of a, the best way to describe it, I assume, would be a mentorship type thing, but it's more relational connection, and man, they do so much. It's literally one of the most impactful ministries that I've had the opportunity to be a part of, and I've had the opportunity to be a part of a lot. And I first heard from Gina through an email, and usually when somebody's asking to be a part or you know, see if they can garner some support for what it is that they're doing, and you don't know them, usually it's a pastor that just puts that message into the trash. Because, you know, it's really who you know now today. It's tough to connect. But I was reading this email, and God was just like, there was something about it. There was a residue on it, like there was a power of God on it. And it was like, you need to connect with her. I'm going to do something great through that connection. And we connected, and it's just been a wonderful thing. Now, Gina has a wonderful story, and that's what I wanted her to come up here and share and give us a light into it. So can we welcome to the platform, as only we do, the director of Beauty for Ashes, Gina Hanna. Let's welcome her as she comes. Amen.
Well, thank you guys for having me. Thank you, Jesse, for inviting us. I am super excited to have partnered with your church. We connected with your church. I always love to share the story. I met with a pastor down the road to talk about Beauty for Ashes. Had a connection there. Someone had signed up or set up that meeting and talked to them about giving support, and he was excited to get behind our ministry. And I said, you know, another way you could support our church or our ministry is when our ladies come out of prison, they need a church they can go to who will just accept them the way they are. You know, they're going to have a journey, and it's going to include relapse and everything else, and we need a church to just love on them. And he said, oh, that's the church down the street. You want Journey Church? I was like, oh, okay, cool. Thank you for being honest. He said, oh, the people that go there, they just wear their issues all over their sleeves. I was like, oh, okay, cool. That's my kind of church. So do I. So, yep, see, told you, time's up. Let me turn that off. I apologize. My plan didn't work. So anyway, we are Beauty for Ashes Ministry, and just to tell you where we got our name from, a lot of people ask, are you the same Beauty for Ashes as, you know, the women's support group at our church or the grief group? And I said, no, but we are all inspired by the same book. We all got our name from the same scripture, and I'm going to read this to you. This is also my Bible. Let's hope I don't get any calls while we're up here. That would not be good. If you want to turn with me, if you have your Bibles or your cell phones or your iPads, whatever you read from, Isaiah 61, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. I'll give you a moment. This is where I get the name Beauty for Ashes. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. For the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives will be released and the prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give them a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, a festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his glory. What I love about this scripture is you don't find it just here in Isaiah. You find it again in the Bible, in the book of Luke. There's a time that Jesus was in the tabernacle, and they said, "Rabbi, Rabbi, teach us." And so they passed him the scrolls, and he unrolls the scrolls, and he reads from this section in Isaiah. And he tells them, "This is going to be fulfilled through me." So that was his opportunity to share his mission statement. That was his mission for his life here on earth, was to fulfill the scripture that we were able to bring the good news of Jesus' story and our stories, and that we were able to bind the brokenhearted. So that's what Jesus' mission was on earth. And then, of course, he paid the price for our sins on the cross, and he was resurrected. And then he met with how many disciples? 11 disciples. And he said to them, "I'm going away, but you now have this mission to fulfill." And so this became our mission statement as believers in Jesus. So that's what I love about that. And that's what prisons are filled with the brokenhearted, with captives that are physically captive, but also captives. But so is Walmart. And actually, I feel safer in prison than I do in Walmart. But I mean, there's opportunities everywhere to share Christ. And so as followers of Jesus, we need to be prepared to do that. So I'm going to share my story with you, how Beauty for Ashes got started. But I wanted to start with just sharing where our name came from. I was raised in a Christian home. Parents on both sides, missionary kids, which was a blessing for me. Being raised by missionary kids, you are instilled the gift of faith. Because they grew up, my dad in Alaska and my mom in Brazil, in Alaska in the remote areas where they had to just trust in God to provide for all their needs. So my dad raised us that way. I knew that God was always going to give us what we needed. We had an experience that really stuck with me when I was a kid. Our electricity was getting shut off. My sister and I came home and there was an orange notice on the door. I don't know if you've ever gotten one of those, but that's always fun. And so we were like, we called my dad, he was out of town, we called him, said, "Dad, the electricity's getting shut off." And he's like, "Well, it's okay, we're going to pray about it, God's going to provide." So I expected the next day that the electricity would be on when we came home, because God was providing, but it wasn't. And so my dad came home, he traveled a lot when I was growing up, but like 300 days out of the year. But he was home on the weekend, so it was a Friday, he comes home and the electricity wasn't on. And he said, "You know what? Let's go out in the backyard." We went out in the backyard. We picked mulberries off the mulberry tree we had back there. Mom got some flour and some water, and we made mulberry pies in the fireplace. And we had a best time. I mean, it's one of the best family nights I remember. We had them a lot, but that was one of the best ones I ever remembered having. And my dad was so faithful to point out to me, "You know, we needed this." Because Dad traveled a lot, and we needed time as a family. And God knew that. So he provided what we needed, and that was a lesson I learned in that. And it was an important lesson I needed to remember because, I grew up in church, kind of a legalistic church, one that taught me, this is what they taught me, that Jesus was, to be a Christian was to be like Christ, right? And Jesus was perfection. So here's this perfect stick of Jesus. How did you measure up against that? Well, growing up, the things I did to my sister alone were sending me straight to hell. I mean, it was bad. But as I got older, that whole thing with my dad being physically gone a lot, the devil used that as an opportunity to lie to me about what I had to do to get a guy to stay around. So I gave myself away at a pretty young age. My parents found out about it, that I was having sex. I was 15 years old. I think about it now. I have a 14-year-old, and I think, what a baby. And that's why the doors are locked on our house. No one's getting out. But I know what I did. You're not going out there. So my parents found out that I was having sex, so I had to go tell the youth pastor. And I remember feeling like they very much took a measuring stick out and said, "Gina, you better get it together because you know where sinners go." So it was very much an in or out thing. And that was so hard for me. So I just finally gave up. By the time I got to college, I knew I'd messed it up. I was on my way to hell. I was going to have a good time getting there. And I discovered pot. That was my drug of choice, so to speak. It was my thing. I tried a lot of things, but that was the one that I woke up with. I was a wake and baker. I didn't really consider myself a drug dealer, but I was very codependent, and I loved to fix people's problems. And if they had a problem getting weed, I would help them. So I would hook my friends up. So I helped out an undercover cop. Apparently, you're supposed to ask first. I did not. So warrant got put out for my arrest a couple years later. I got arrested, found myself in front of the judge. My dad taught us to hear God's voice. And man, we were praying over this. God, make a way out of this. We were told, first time in trouble, you're going to be fine. You'll get a couple years probation. We sat in that courtroom that day. I had other friends that had gotten, that had helped out this cop as well. And they went up in front of the judge, and they were getting 2 years probation. So we thought, for sure, that's what was going to happen. My ex-husband and I went up in front of the judge. This was 5 days after our wedding, so we were about to find out how we're going to spend our honeymoon. And we were told that it was going to be paid for by the state. So we got to go away for 4 months to prison. We got 5 years probation, and part of that was to do a 120 treatment. I heard God's voice that day. I had this crazy peace about me that this was for a reason, because I knew it all. I mean, I may not have been living for the Lord, but I knew he still had his hand on my life. I thought for sure that I had no salvation in it because of the things I was doing. But anyway, I went to prison thinking, well, they're going to be glad they sent me because I'm going to fix everyone I meet. Yeah, I didn't want to do that so much when I got there. But I did meet these amazing women. And when we shared stories, I mean, in treatment, you get an opportunity to really get to know each other. And as I heard these women's stories, I thought, man, we have so much in common, but so much that's different. Because they didn't have family nights around the fireplace making mulberry pies. In many places, there was fatherless homes. There was drug abuse in their homes. There was sexual abuse, physical abuse at really young ages. By the adults that were supposed to be protecting them, they became their perpetrators, and these women became victims. And you thought, by the time you grew up, no wonder you ended up in prison. I mean, we all turned to the world's answer for these pains that we had in our life. You know, for me, I had this guilt and shame from the choices I made and felt so condemned by the church that the world brought an answer of, hey, get high, it's all better. You know, that was my answer to that, which led to where I was. There's the pain that they had gone through was just enormous, but we all turned to the world for that answer. I left prison and said, your tax dollars worked on me. I'm not going back. Because they told us 7 out of 10 of you will come back. And that was true. I mean, it was like a revolving door. You know, if someone came in, it was like a reunion. Oh, you're back. So I was determined that that wasn't going to be my story. But within 6 months, I was right back in my addiction. And that was so frustrating to me. I had a son at this point. He was 6 months when I went in. He was over a year at this point. I was on probation for 5 years. I was risking everything. But yet this addiction had this such a stronghold on me, and I didn't know the word stronghold at the time. I just knew I couldn't quit. And I tell people, if those that don't know what that feels like, if you haven't struggled with an addiction to anything, it's kind of like going on a diet and trying not to eat chocolate cake. You know, I mean, you just can't stop yourself sometimes. And it was that same feeling. And so I had a conversation with God about it. I was getting high one day and just crying out to him, like, why did you tell me this was for a reason? Why did I go to prison, but yet that didn't work on me? And I really, when I say God spoke to me, it was like this knowing that I had. Like, I saw a wing of the prison, and I had these thoughts that it's not about you getting in trouble again. But it is about you learning how to get set free from an addiction. And when you get those truths, you're going to take them back. And so I was like, okay. I was on a mission at that point. I mean, I could see, like, this, the wing of the prison, and we were going to be doing something that was going to get people set free from their addiction. And so I, you know, I couldn't stop talking about it. I was telling everyone, like, we're going to go back to prison someday, and we're gonna help people get set free. I just got to stop doing this. I mean, that was it. And people were like, oh, my, you're a mess. So for 8 years, that was me struggling against this calling and this addiction. Well, I eventually got back into church. I had a grandma who loved to pray for the black sheep, and she just kept encouraging me to go back to church. And I found a church much like this that was a hospital. I was nervous to go in. I mean, I really thought they'd be at the door like, okay, yeah, you can go in. Come on in. Welcome to our country club. Come on in. But that's not the way it was at all. It was very much, you know, come as you are. I eventually shared with them, man, I struggle with this addiction. I am getting high on my way here to church and teaching Sunday school. And they're like, well, okay, maybe you shouldn't do that. But, you know, go ahead and just keep coming. And if you're going to smoke, don't teach the kids. But, you know, so I just kept showing up. felt released from my marriage, and that was a big one for me. Growing up in church, divorce was the unforgivable sin, I thought. But I felt like God said it was okay. And, of course, my thinking was, if I just get divorced, he's never going to quit smoking pot. He's the problem. So I moved into my own apartment and still got high. I took myself with me. Eventually, met a new man that God brought into my life who loved the Lord. Us women, we have a list of what we want in a man. I mean, he had like the top three covered. I was only going to have to change a couple things. So God knew exactly that he was meant for me. And when he told me, you know, I want to be with you and you can't smoke pot to be married to me, I was like, oh, God, you have me right where you want me. So we got engaged and eventually landed in a class at my church called Oaks of Righteousness. And it was in this class, I had avoided taking this class for a couple years. Anytime I would talk about my addiction, my struggles, they would say, you know, it might be helpful for you to sign up for Oaks. And I think I knew it was going to work. And there's part of you, when you're in an addiction, it's like, I want to quit, but I don't want to quit, but I want to quit, but I don't. And so I finally felt like it was time for us to take this. My husband and I both took it. And in this class, they taught us about strongholds. I learned about unforgiveness. I learned about relinquishing my rights to things that I couldn't change. I learned about shame, the power that shame has to hold us and keep us stuck. I learned about self-pity, and I learned about lies that I believed. And I learned how there was power in the name of Jesus to break those lies. Let me tell you the first lie I broke. I broke the lie that I had to be perfect, and I started to see Jesus for what he did that gave us power. And in our ministry time, what was called ministry time, we took this time. It was about, 3 hours. I just shared my story. And then with the help of the leader of the ministry time, they helped me pray and take all of my stuff through the cross. So just through the name of Jesus, I choose to forgive my dad for working so much and making me feel like I wasn't a priority. I forgive him for being the reason I fell for the lie that I had to give myself away. In the name of Jesus, I break the lie that I'm a pothead. I break the lie that I'm an addict. In the name of Jesus, I break the lie that I'm a slut. I break the vow that I made that I would never do drugs. I break the vow that I made that I would never get divorced. I forgive myself for breaking those vows. Lord, I accept your grace. And as I went through these things, it broke every stronghold in my life. And on the last day of the class, they have what's called the blessing seat. And in the blessing seat, that's when You sat in the mercy seat or the hot seat, and the leaders laid hands on you and prayed for you. And one of the leaders in my group said, I don't know what you struggled with. She didn't know my story, but she said, I don't know if this is God or not, but this might make sense to you. She said, I feel like you've been struggling with something for a long time, and God just wants you to know it's over. You're not going to struggle anymore. And I knew exactly what she was talking about. And at first I was like, really? But it was gone. And I was doing the math last night. It was 9 years ago. The Oaks class is starting up next week, and it would have been 9 years ago to this class that I've been free. And I'm telling you, it is amazing. God is good. So we got married 3 months later, got pregnant 24 hours later, I promise. There's a lot of people that did the math on that one. I'm like, nope, this one was not out of wedlock, thank you. God is the center of this thing. So I took a year off just to have a baby and have a new marriage, and that's what you should do. If you get sober from something, don't go try to start a ministry. That's not what you should do the first year. But when it was time to get back involved in the serving, and I said yes to, okay, God, you put this on my heart, and now I know the truth. I got to take Oaks of Righteousness into prisons. God opened door after door. And this was a long story that I'm really going to shorten, but when he opened the door, we connected with a program called Interchange Freedom Initiative. And when I met this guy who worked for them, I'm like, you do prison ministry full time? I want to do that. And I'm like, how do you get in prison the right way? Because I don't know how. And well, they let me back in. And he said, well, yeah, I work for this program, and we have a wing of the prison. We're in Lansing Correctional Facility, which is over in near Kansas City, which was perfect for us. And he said, and we have a program in the women's prison in Vandalia. It's called in Vandalia, Missouri. You've probably never heard of that. And I'm like, been there, done that. totally know where Vandalia is. Found it in the hard way. But anyway, so he starts describing it. Says, we have a wing of the prison, and they do Christ-centered classes. It's a year-long program, and I'm telling you, I'm like, are you reading my mail? I mean, that's what I've been dreaming about for 8 years and telling people I'm going to do. So I thought, oh, well, we'll just join them. So we started volunteering for them over in Lansing Correctional Facility because that's closer to us. So we work with the men there. We immediately started bringing in worship services, and we still do to this day. The first Wednesday of the month and the third Wednesday of the month, we bring in sometimes 40 volunteers. They hate us, all the paperwork we give them to do. But we bring in worship services. We started teaching classes for them, 21 Laws of Leadership and different things that were in their curriculum. And we do banquets for them. We started that right away. So Christmas time, we bring in a full home-cooked meal, and we feed the men and their families and their children. We give them Christmas presents. It's just amazing things, the things that God allows us to do there. So we started that right away. And a year later, they said yes, that we could do Oaks of Righteousness over there with the men at Lansing. And it was just powerful. And let me describe what the ministry time looked like in there for you. When we told these guys, you know, we took them through all the classes, they learned about all the strongholds, and then we said, now we're going to take you into these little rooms within the basement of the correctional facility in the maximum security prison, and we're going to have you tell your story, and you may cry. Yeah, right. They were like, and the thing was, is, you know, we don't pray about who's in the little ministry group. I mean, we do pray about it. We don't look up their crimes, is what I mean. We don't go and say, okay, if you've committed murder, we'll keep you in a group over here, and if you're a child molester, we'll keep you over here. Because God doesn't do that. He looks at it all the same. So we just pray about it and put everyone in the group. Well, this guy, Michael, comes up to me and says, I'm not doing this. I know what Jeremy's in here for. Well, Jeremy was in there for a sexual offense against a minor. He was like 19 or 20. She was younger than that. And Michael was in there for murder. I said, well, you know what, Michael? You don't have to do anything. But if you could just ask God to give you his eyes for Jeremy, then, you know, we have to do that every day we come in here. Because it's not like you're here for bad manners. I mean, everyone is in here has done something wrong. And he's like, okay, cool. So he sits there like this the whole time. I'm like, oh, Michael, you're killing me. Jeremy says, I'll go first, and Jeremy shares his story. And when he was 2 years old, he never knew his father. His mother brought in all these very abusive boyfriends who would abuse Michael, or Jeremy, I'm sorry. And Jeremy shared his story of being target practice at 2 years old for one of these boyfriends who would, he'd have to run around and try not to get shot by a BB gun. He was sexually molested by these men. His mom, you know, didn't protect him in this. And as he's sharing this horrific story, Michael just has tears going down his face because he knew exactly what Jeremy had been through, because his story, we found out the next day, was very similar. So we walked through Jeremy through forgiving his mom for not being there to protect him, for breaking, we broke all the lies that he believed and the things that the strongholds on his life, and it was like chains fell off of him. It was very powerful. So a year later, Interchange Freedom Initiative said, you know what, we don't have the money to keep this going. We're going to have to shut down the programs in Missouri, Kansas, and Arkansas. And we were like, what? This is crazy. And immediately we remembered God had said, you're going to run a program in the prison. And so we went to Prison Fellowship and said, hey, what if Beauty for Ashes takes over the program in the women's prison? And they're like, thank you, that's an answer to prayer. So in 2011, we took over the Interchange Freedom Initiative in the women's prison on a wing and a prayer with about $500 in the bank, and it was going to cost about $10,000 a month to run it. We were like, well, if it's God, we'll know. and so we said yes, and we took on two staff members. We have one of our staff members here at this service. Denise is up here, and she works full-time in the prison. Thanks to you guys, we have Denise. You guys made the connection when we were hiring a program manager, but our women go through a full program year long. We start with Oaks of Righteousness, and then we do discipleship classes and reentry classes that prepare them from a biblical worldview, how to do finances, parenting, relationships, everything that we need to learn. I mean, sometimes I think, I want to sign up for this program because I need this help. But then we work with them on the outside too. When they get out, they go through the classes. So I want to show you a video because I want you to see the program itself and hear the stories from the women's viewpoint of what it's like to go through Beauty for Ashes reentry.
I used to be so filled with hate and bitterness and discontent. And I mean, I grew up with hate, so that's all I knew. And then I got in abusive relationships, which made me hate even more. And I
come from a dysfunctional family, typical dysfunctional family. My mom passed away. I never knew my father. I got into drugs really bad, meth, and it was just no hope, you know. It was an endless cycle of dread, you know. But this program has did so much for me. It has taught me that my trials and tribulations, I used to think they were just to beat me down, you know. But now through them, I can start to see how it's refining me, you know. The Bible says in James, make it not strange when you go through fiery trials. And I don't anymore. I think, what am I needing to learn out here? What character trait am I trying to gain through this? So this program's taught me a lot, you know, and
I've learned so much. The classes that they teach just, and I didn't even realize it. It was like little by little, gradually, you know, I started feeling this weight just kind of lift off me, and I don't know, I just feel free. I'm at peace for once in my life, and
I prayed for this. Not prayed to come to prison, but for, you know, another chance. And so I came here and I got in this program, and it gives you so much hope. It lets you know that there's a God out there who really does care, you know, and it's amazing. You know, even though my mom's gone and I don't know my father, I feel love, you know. I want to go out there and I want to give other people the same hope. I want people to know, you know, what I know now, and it's that God loves you and he cares. And he's there for you, and he is concerned with the little details, you know, not just the big ones, not just, I don't know, he's concerned, and he loves, you know, he loves you. I want to tell people that, because it's amazing. So, yeah, that's fun.
And so, yes, I have my kids now, and I slacked off on school for now because I have started my own business called Made Anew, and it's a cleaning business, and, yeah, so... That's been some big deal. And then here recently, I finally got approved to go into Shawnee County Correctional Facility because I now live in Topeka, Kansas. And so now I get to go into the jails there at Topeka. And even though I'm going in with a recovery group, NA, because that's a big support group also as well that I utilize. But going in with NA, I get to slip Jesus in there every once in a while, you know, my higher power, Jesus.
My relationships. I didn't have any really with my children. Now we're, I was the absent mom even though I was there in the household with them. And the boys and I now, we see each other once a week. I get to be with my grandson, who's my heart. And I'm getting married. Something I always swore up and down I would never do again, and I'm grateful. My family has extended far and beyond blood, and that started with being in the program too, because my support system that I went from prison with started there, and I've been able to continue to keep that anchor with the people like you and others from the program, and that just started a ripple effect for the people that I'm involved with now.
Was the very first Christmas in 9 years that I got to spend with my family. I got to be there on Christmas Day with my kids. I got to be there on Christmas Day with my nieces that I had never gotten to spend Christmas with my sister. 9 years ago, for 8 years I stayed in my addiction in no, my family didn't invite me for Christmas because there was so much chaos, and you never knew what you were going to get if you invited me. And this year it was great. I mean, we all sat around, we reminisced, there was no fighting, no arguing. My sister, as we gathered for dinner, asked me to lead us in prayer, you know, and it was a transformation. It was something completely, totally God-given.
You know, married almost 2 years. We got married a week after I got out. Been married almost 2 years, had an 8-month-old son. Our 15-year-old that was flunking out of 8th grade is now AB honor roll in high school. You know, my career, I've actually got one. My goal, I've hired people straight out of Sigma House, which is a recovery center here in town. It's inpatient treatment. And I've got that good word of mouth. I have had people that I've hired on house arrest or whatnot, and their addiction was the same as mine, and they've started messing up, and I've been the one to call their PO. That's weird.
Beauty for Ashes has been there. I mean, there was a time when I relapsed, not only Beauty for Ashes, but Jesus with it. You know, that's one and the same. Last year when I had relapsed, and I had some people come up, you know, around me and just tell me that I needed help, you know, and then I had a church couple take my kids for 30 days while I got it into rehab. I thought my business is going to fall. What am I going to do, you know? Something that I had gotten myself into. I had gotten myself into every bit of that, and I deserved to be punished, you know? I deserved to lose my business, and but that's not the way that Jesus sees it, and that's not the way that my friends, Beauty for Ashes, came around me and told me, you know what? People mess up, and we're going to love you through this. I had members of the program and Gina herself carry my business for 30 days. Somebody had quote unquote adopted kind of like my kids for 30 days and got me through it, you know, got me rehabilitated to where I was able to, you know, get a grip and say, you know what, I'm not perfect, I'm gonna struggle, but that doesn't mean I have to use, and that doesn't mean that everyone's gonna leave me like, you know, they did in my childhood. And so it's a learning process for me. I've learned so much. I'm such a different person, and it's because of this ministry.
I want to ask for Kay and Tawny to come on up here with us. And Gina, I just wanted to, you know, one of the primary reasons that I really wanted you guys to be here in this team and this opportunity is to give our church a window into what it is that we get to do and we get to be a part of with you in this. And if you could, how many ladies right now are in the Vandalia program?
We have around 40 women in the program right now. We get over 100 that go through within a year of time.
Right. Now, around 40, you guys have been given 8 House like to use. Like, mm-hmm. So, like, Denise and your staff, like, they're there. Like, mm-hmm. Was it 40 hours a week?
Yes.
Wow. And so, like, when I walk in, the first time I walked in, I was a little intimidated because I'd never been to a women's prison before. And so it was just like, what is there to, you know, expect? And so I walk into the wing, and there's, like, this armor of God, like, this huge cutout. It's just all this teaching. And, I mean, Kay, I don't know if that, you know, that blew you away, too. Just seeing that, I was like, wow, what in the world is going on here? And, you know, beauty for ashes, that scripture out of Isaiah, right? Mm-hmm. He makes beauty from ashes. Like, I think we see that and we'll amen that, but there's a process to that promise. There's practical steps to get there. And when you said that, breaking a part of what you want to do is help break the lies mm-hmm. that so many of those women are believing about themselves.
Yeah.
And so that's played an effect, I think, because You've kind of really praised the recidivism. Am I right in
yes.
saying that?
Yep, good job.
Recidivism rate. What's the recidivism rate of the women that are in this program?
Ours is less than 10%, which is compared within 2 years after coming out, compared to the state of Missouri, which is 43%.
43%, which is usually, so almost half yeah. of them are coming back, but if they come through the program, Less than 10%.
10% have come back.
Isn't that
back,
absolutely?
So.
I mean,
oh,
that's like real practical Jesus right there.
Amen.
Amen. What is it that we can do? I know you allow us to serve, right? And why do you even let us serve with you?
Well, we want to make sure that the church has an opportunity to be obedient to what Jesus has called. You know, in Matthew 25, he says to visit those in prison, and that when you're doing so, you meet Jesus himself there, which I would say we all say amen, because you get so much more when you go in than you do. And so that's why we want the body of Christ to do it, because we can't, I mean, two staff members, you can tell, are overwhelmed every Monday when they come in with a bunch of women who have had issues all weekend. And so to have the body of Christ come in and to support them and to use their gifts, because we want all gifts represented in our program. So that's why we ask you to be a part of it that way.
Wow. I'm telling you, when we're there, and Kay, I'm sure you can speak to this too, it's just there's the presence of God in that mm-hmm. wing that I feel more sometimes than many church services that mm-hmm. I've been a part of in my life. Like when we'll sing and Tim has a voice, you know, that carries like super loud. And when he's singing, Tim can even say this, like, we can't even hear ourselves sing because they just sing over mm-hmm. us. And they sound a lot better than us, but it's just, it's amazing. What is it that you would kind of accredit that atmosphere to? Like, because it fills the room.
You know, I think that if you think of being in a pitch dark room and you light a match, how bright it is. As opposed to if I lit a match right here under these lights, you couldn't see it as bright. And I think it's the same thing. Prisons are very spiritually dark places. And when you bring Jesus into it, he shines very brightly, and the Holy Spirit is so thick. Wow. That's the best thing I could explain
wow.
it.
So you have, it's Tawny with us, right?
Yes.
Tawny,
T-A-W-N-Y. Yeah.
I love that right there. Tawny, you have, your eyes are kind of teared up. Why is that? What's going on?
I was incarcerated for 12 years. I've been out for 2 years. But I was a part of this program in the beginning. I started in January of 2012.
Yeah.
And it's just the emotions. This is my family. You know, when I sit and watch the videos, and last night we drove past the prison, and that's my family in there, you know. And it's just, I don't even know how to
wow.
how to explain it.
Yes, she deserves that. Yes.
You know, when I got into prison and stuff, and you know, it's just cold. You feel degraded. You're just a nobody. You know, you have to answer to everybody and stuff. And when I got put on to 8C, it was a bad situation, which put me over there. But when I walked in, and you speak about the armor of God, and I was put upstairs, and I turned around, it's like, it's gonna be okay. You know, and it is. It's there. We're just one, we care about each other. We love each other. We know that, I know that the women that are in there, you know, some will never get out. And that's heartbreaking. That hurts me because I miss them. But I have my family. I have 3 children. I've got my family, but this is my support family. You know, when I need help, that my family can't relate to what I went through, but these guys can.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. So Gina, what is it that we can do, because I know we're wrapping up here, what is it that we can do to help you and to support Beauty for Ashes? I know we've got volunteer opportunities that this is what we, Kay's over.
She's done an amazing job, I just
all of the
say.
All of the Beauty for Ashes volunteer that we get to do at Journey Church is run through Kay, and she's just got such a creative mind, such a tender heart for anybody that serves. She's a great leader in that program. Yeah. So, I mean, we can serve to be a part of it, and you've got a table out there, right, Kay? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have a table back there when you leave, and we'd be happy to talk to you about all that we do. It's more about Beauty for Ashes today, but there's a lot of things that we do.
Yeah.
And so you can see Kay in the serving aspect. I just had felt, you know, in the context of missions, because it's Mission Sunday here at our church, and we have primarily used our mission to reach the orphan. And, you know, that's a command in Scripture to do that. And you and I were talking how even in your church at Vineyard in Kansas City, where you get, it's your home church, you know, it's kind of a Matthew 25 focus for missions. He's called us to reach the orphan. He's called us to reach the widow. And he's called us also to reach the prisoner.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a real focus in missions. And I had just felt a release in my heart to add Beauty for Ashes onto our missions giving here at Journey Church. And how many know, I mean, sometimes you don't got to reach far. You don't have to extend your reach all the way to the borders of a foreign country to reach into a heart in a missions context. How many know Vandalia's right in our backyard?
Yeah.
And there's many times where I'll go there and then I hear what I consider to be the saddest thing that I could possibly hear is when I'm walking somewhere and I hear, "Hey, Pastor." And I turn around and it's somebody that I've seen in our church, you know, that just they haven't been able to tie in here and they just continued on.
Yeah.
In their place of addiction. And, you know, I see tears in their eyes, and they'll say, "I can't wait to get out. I want to plug back into the church." And, but, man, I'm telling you, this is right here in our backyard. And so what I want us to do, if we could, ushers, I want us, if you would today, I want you to prayerfully consider, we're not going to take an offering up or anything like that right now, but I want you to prayerfully consider today on what you could do to team with Beauty for Ashes. On our missions Sundays that we do. And so right now our ushers are going to be handing out pledge forms that are going to go down the aisle. So if you could, just go ahead and take one and pass it down. And ushers, if we get a couple more ushers to help them, maybe they go from the back to the front so we can take care of this in a quick manner. But if you could, I want you to fill that out and put it in a basket on your way out, or maybe you need to hang on to it for a minute and pray about it. But just give us your information in there. And we want to give that information with your permission over to Beauty for Ashes so they could send you a newsletter that they prepare to let you know what is going on, the results. People like Tawny, these great stories that come out of this incredible ministry that we are intimately involved with. And we love the opportunity to do it. And again, this just isn't it. You guys are over in Lansing. That's a men's correctional facility that I know Jeff has, who Jeff got to play bass with us today. Woo-hoo! And I'm telling you, it's absolutely awesome. He is a crazy man. And we love him, man, so much. A guy to talk to and meet. But we love this team. And I want you to know this is family that you see up on this platform. And we're doing ministry together, and I feel like this is a time where we need to step up our support beyond our prayers, beyond just our service, and begin to help serve them with some of the treasure that God has given us through a giving context. And so just like we prayed on what God would have us give in the orphanage context, I want you to pray about what God would have you give once a month in a prison context so that we can truly fulfill Matthew 25's command for us as the church to reach into the orphan, to reach into the widow. We're praying for that ministry to come too, but to reach into the prison, which is what we have here right now. And so if that's $1 a month, $5 a month, $1 million a month, whatever God puts on your heart, amen.
We will
amen.
Take that. I just heard what you said. A little slow on the delay there.
Whatever that is, I want you just to write that down, and then starting next month, begin to fulfill that giving as we add them into our missions giving. How many think that'd be a great idea here at Journey Church? Amen?
Thank you, God.
I know it's hard to ask people to clap when you got pens and papers in hand, but we are just so thankful for the support that you guys allow us to give you guys. And it's just such an amazing thing. We're going to head over there March 19th, right, for chapel. Tim and I and Kay and the team, we go there, and, man, it is nuts. I absolutely love it. I'm telling you, our church has experienced really great, great reach in standing with you guys because they say that the chapels that we do are so well attended because of the Beauty for Ashes reputation.
And the partnership for sure, because they come, because they know Journey Church is coming. And you guys do our Harvest Jam every year, which now we took it outside, reached 800 women in the facility plus, which is amazing. And that's you guys that
just
are
seeing
doing
women make decisions for Christ and to stand with Beauty for Ashes. It's such an amazing thing. I'm telling you, there's a hunger for God in that prison. And here's how I can say this. Like on March 19th, it's a chapel. And they've told us that every ministry that comes in to do a chapel, different ministries come in. Outside of Beauty for Ashes, it's the Lutheran ministries, different kind of ministries. And, you know, like 5-10 people will attend the chapel services. But when we come there and stand with Beauty for Ashes, I mean, we have to, it's a 120-seat room.
Yeah.
And it's packed. We have to turn people away. Mm-hmm. And we have to do 2 chapel services that are packed back to back. And there's just such a hunger for God. That's fun. See healings and deliverance and just people stop believing the lie that
Amen.
You said.
Amen.
And they stop trying to put themselves up to that yeah. ruler thing was great. I wish you had told me that before so that I could have stole that and used that last Sunday. Amen. But if you guys could fill out that pledge form, and I just want to ask, Tawny, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but I'd love to ask you to pray. And I want to ask our worship team if they would to come as we close. And, man, let's stand here this morning. And if we could, I'd like to ask for the Beauty for Ashes team to kind of come up and line up here. And, Kay, any of your leaders and volunteers that are here, I'd like to ask them to line up as well that are here today. But in a moment, I'm going to have Tawny. Tawny, it's so awesome to have you here. My goodness, this is just a phenomenal opportunity to be able to support this ministry. But this ministry is a ministry that loves Journey Church. They support this church with prayer. I'm so thankful they took time out of their schedule to be here with us and allowed us to do this with them. But I just feel like there's people in this room right now that something that Gina had said really connected with you. Like it hit you right where you were at. Maybe it was when she snapped that ruler. Like that was a powerful moment. I feel like some of you, when you heard that snap, something snapped in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, that you got to release yourself from trying to live up to the standard of Christ that you'll never be able to do, and embrace the identity that he's already given you as a child of God. And from there, you strive after righteousness and you strive after holiness. But some of you right now just have struggles that you need to let go of, and there's not a team in this room that understands that more than the people that you see here on this platform or lined up down here. They'd love the opportunity to pray with you. And so I want to give you the opportunity before you go, if you need prayer for anything in your life, just allow us to stand with you. Allow us to set our faith next to you. If it's a decision that you want to make for Christ, come up here and let us celebrate that opportunity with you here today. Amen. But before we do that, I want to ask Tawny if she would, just to pray, if you would. And I know I didn't ask you to do this, and I'm so sorry to put you on the spot, but I just sense there's something in what you're about to say. Mm-hmm. Don't stress out on that. That's going to be a blessing. Amen. That's going to be a blessing to somebody in this room tonight.
Father God, I just thank you. I thank you so much for this opportunity to come together here to meet these wonderful people that want to become a part of us, a part of what we are to heal people. Father God, I am so grateful and thankful to you for every day I see your favor. Every night when I sit down, I see favor that you've given to me that I don't deserve. To each and every one of these people, Lord, I pray for those that haven't found you yet, for those that need you, that you put someone in their heart, in their life, to let them know it's okay. We don't have to be perfect. We can't be perfect, Lord God. You take us from all walks, and you're just there for us, and that's just such a wonderful feeling to finally figure out and learn. Father God, I pray for those who don't know how to help, that you'll put it on their hearts to know how to, what others need, what their neighbor needs, what, you'll just show it. No matter where they go, whether it's to Walmart, to the prison, to wherever, that you will just, in their hearts, they'll feel who needs your help. Lord God, I thank you once again for this opportunity. I pray for the people here. I pray for their safety of those coming and going. Lord, I pray for the country, Lord, for everything that's going on, that your hand is in this, that you will just, we can just relax and let you guide us, Father God, in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 I want want to give you ladies an opportunity to head on down. I'll take this from you, Miss Tawny. Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. Journey Church, if you need prayer for anything in your life, I want to encourage you, before you head out, head up and let God do a work in your life this morning. Amen. God bless you, Journey Church. We love you so much. We look forward to seeing you right back here next weekend.